Okay, so this is what we dealt with as last week. Okay, Bikitzur. There's a Gemara in Sukkah that raises several positions as to how many Hadassim Aravot you need and whether they need to be perfect or they can be imperfect. The Gemara introduces three positions, that you need 3, 2, 1, and 1, which is what we do. 1, 1, 1, and 1, which is Rabbi Kiva. But then within the 3, 2, 1, and 1, the Gemara introduces two positions, whether you need 3 perfect Hadassim, or three imperfect Hadassim, or 1 perfect Hadass and 2 imperfect Hadassim. Okay? Shmuel, the Gemara tries to prove, Paskins like Rabbi Tarfon, that holds that you need 3 imperfect Hadassim. The way the Gemara tries to prove this is by noting that there was once a time when the prices of Hadassim, these perfect Hadassim, was very, very high. And Shmuel threatened the businessman and said, look, lower the price of Hadassim, or I will paskin for everybody. The halacha is not like Rabbi Shmuel, who needs 1 perfect Hadass, but like Rabbi Tarfon, who says that you only need 3 imperfect, and the price of Hadassim will plummet. The Gemara then says, well, why stop at Rabbi Tarfon? If you're already threatening, threaten even better. Threaten like Rabbi Kiva and say you only need 1. So the Gemara answers, it's not a good threat. It's not a good threat, because 1 good one is still rarer than 3 not good ones, and therefore, Ritarfon was in fact the most makel position that he could, in terms of price, that he could introduce. And that's Gemara 1. Gemara 2 is that Rav and Shmuel argue about whether, when it comes Pesach time, you need to break your pots or not, because of the blios of chametz in the pots.
Break your clay pots,
which can't be koshered. Rav said, yes, every year you need to buy a new set of china. You need to smash your china Erev Pesach and buy a new china. And Shmuel says, no, you don't. And the Gemara says that Shmuel went to the businessman again, and because obviously if everyone needs a new set of china and Erev Pesach... So he goes Erev Pesach to the china sellers, and he says, look, guys, lower your price, or I'm going to tell everybody that the halacha is...
They don't have to break them.
They don't have to break them, and the price will plummet. So the Gemara said, well, just say it. You hold that way, don't you? So the Gemara says, it's true he held that way, but this was in Rav's shul. Or it's Rav's community. So he can't just go out of his way and paskin like Rav. Now, the problem that the poskim dealt with, and the reason we got into this topic, is that the simplest read of the Gemara in Sukkah is that you're allowed to lie for some social, or paskin incorrectly, let's say, for a social need, right? Not the way you believe, right? We'll get to those nuances in a minute, right? For a social need, which again is part of the general picture we've been building of those elements that might be part of psak that are not psak, right? Not halachic, right? Not the halachic analysis of the sugya in any way that you want to spin it. Now, and that in two senses. One, which you can't escape, is that the Gemara in both sugyas assumes that he was willing to withhold the truth of his position and let people be more machmir. Right now, in the Gemara in Psachim, the reason he allowed people to be more machmir was kavod harav of Rav. Right, I mean that's undeniable. Right, he's just saying I'm not going to go around being makil, but kavod harav has its limits. Right, meaning sure, if it doesn't cost too much, then I won't. You know, I won't destroy Kavod HaRav.
Right, that's not really cool.
That's fine. In Sukkah, the way the Rishonim understand it is that the issue at hand was Hidr Mitzvah. Was that he didn't want to lechatchila tell people, go and get bad Hadassim, because it's not as nice. Lechatchila, really, one should get at least 1 perfect Hadass. And therefore, for Hidr Mitzvah, he was willing to withhold the truth as long as the price wasn't too high.
But they wouldn't be possible, even according to his original Shita.
But meaning, according to his sheet, that wouldn't be possible. But the reason he let people think that the halacha was like Rabbi Shmuel, namely that you need a perfect one, right? I mean, not like Rabbi Tarfon, is because he thought that lechatchila for hider mitzvah you should act like Rabbi Shmuel.
Or it's lechatchila thing, but if you really held the average kasha, you're going to get 3 and 4.
Correct. So the Rishonim saying both sugyas, look, the fact that he's willing to withhold the truth is not like the biggest deal. To say that you don't, this we know from everywhere else in Shas, halacha vein marin kein, right? There are things which are not, you know. We don't have to tell everybody everything that's mutter at all times, right? That's not a mitzvah, right? There are counter pressures, whether they be hidder mitzvah, kavod harav, whatever it might be. Fine. The bigger chiddush is that the Gemara in Sukkah seems to imply that he could actually lie right? And Paskin incorrectly.
So like we Paskin would recuse.
And Paskin, right, meaning the Gemara is egging him on to lie, right? Whatever you want to say. And that's a problem. So Tosfos seems bothered by this question, but then he doubles down. And Tosfos says, how could you do it?
You could.
And he says, yeah, well, yeah, that's what he did. And then he has a whole very convoluted read of how we get to the fact that that's the assumption of the entire Gemara. Fine. The Ritva says, I do not buy this. Right? It's not true. If you weren't here last week, okay, you can look at the Ritva. The Ritva is a very, very, very complicated read of the Gemara to get out of this. But basically, Tosfos says, yes, you can lie. The Ritva says, no, you can't lie. The Kapot Marim says that there's, right, it was the Maral Bach, notes that Rashi in Krisos has another possibility. Rashi there says, in a similar case, where the Mishnah said that there was a machlokes about how many karbonot one had to bring when he had multiple chiyuvim, both in the case of Safik and Vahadai, and because of the shita that you were chayiv to bring, if you had multiple chiyuvim karbon, you were chayiv to bring all of them, right? Like if you had five chiyuvim karbon, you had to bring five of them, the price for kinim went sky high, and the Mishnah brings, Rabbi Akiva said, you'd better lower the price, or I will tell everybody that you only need to bring one and you just design the whole thing. And Rashi there says, how could he do that? Ace lasos lashem, eferus or azecha. This isn't a lie, right? If necessary, he could just uproot the Torah.
Right.
So he says, why don't you just say that here? So answer one was only the gadol hador. Not a gadol hador, but the gadol hador is allowed to do akira davna Torah, which makes Ellie bothered because it's like, wait, not the Sanhedrin? As long as you're the gadol hador, that's fine, right? As long as you're whatever, Moshe Feinstein, so that's fine. Second possibility is no, it's a difference between Sheve al Tase and Kumbase, right? And therefore, you can do it with Sheve al Tase, but in this case it would be Kumbase. How exactly you construct the case of Sukkah is Kumbase, taking the wrong lulav. Okay, it's a bit of a stretch, but that's his read. And then he raises a fourth possibility, which is, why are we going so far? There's a much easier answer that makes everyone much happier, which is, say this is a Shasat Chak. And the Shasat Chak, we're allowed to rely on minority Shitot. So just say, okay, so we don't Paskin Rabbi Akiva.
We already have it.
Right? Yeah, why don't we just Paskin that way? Why wasn't that the Gemara's answer? Why didn't the Rishonim just say this isn't a lie? It's not Kiryas Sefer Minot Torah. It's just Psikat Halacha B'Shasat Chak.
If I remember correctly, we only think you'd rely on minority Shitot, Shasat Chak, when they weren't Tamar V'Nimna on it.
He actually is the precursor to Rav Lichtenstein. And he says, no. Sikat al Chav v'Shadat Chag is only legitimate if you are not convinced that the position you're relying on is wrong. But at such point that you are subjectively convinced that that position is wrong, you can't rely on it. Right? Remember, we saw this. Right? That at some level, the legitimacy of Sikat al Chav v'Shadat Chag, it doesn't depend on whether it's a possibility theoretically. It's whether you, with integrity, can say, I have some faith in it. Right? I think it could be. Right? But if not, then it really is dead to you. Right, it's a dead position to you.
And certainly, it's voted down. If it's a healthy
and for sure, if it's Nimnu Begamru, for sure. Okay, so that was what we did last week. What I wanted to do this week, which we didn't really explore, was what I said is, you know, relatively easier compared philosophically to what we just read. And that is the Chumrah, right? But before we get that, just to show you one more case where this comes up. Okay, I'm going to skip the Chasam Sofer. Look at the Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah in Gittin says, "Hamocharetz asma vez banav lagoi ein podinoso. I will podinus habanam lacharmises avien." If you sell yourself and your sons to a goy, so we aren't allowed to redeem you, even though normally we're supposed to redeem someone. But who becomes a slave to a goy, we don't do that if you brought this on yourself, because, right, you know, you just make the money and then you force other people to redeem you. Yeah. But after the son, the father dies, you can redeem the children. Hamochar sadeu l'goy v'chazer v'lachay meni Yisrael l'okeach mevi menu bikurim mipnei, that should be tikkun ha'olam. Okay?
You can or should?
What?
Can or should? You can't redeem them, right?
What?
Do you mean can redeem the son or should redeem
it? Probably should. Or can. Whatever.
It's like an issue beforehand? It's the,
For policy. Yeah. Right? Because we don't want to encourage people. Okay, you'll make the money. You'll sell yourself into slavery. You know that someone will be chayv to redeem you. And you won't pay them back. Right? We don't want to encourage such behavior. So if you sell yourself into slavery, you'll be stuck there. Okay. The Rambam in Perush Mishnayos says, V'hushu machar atzmo shalosh pamim, v'pam ha'shlishis ein podin osel em kein choshen shargu. Right? By the, it's only the third time. Okay, I don't want to get the whole sugya, but it's all, right, specifically the third time, unless he's going to die. Pishkoch nefesh ein malasa. Ukvar be'arnu b'kam makom v'seid Yisroim, sheklalo et leinu en kinyin l'er v'zrael afgim en amayso, so fia ha'konim en ha'goy yavim en ha'terah. So then he goes on, and he says, right, the second half of this is that when you sell your field to a guy and another Jew buys it, he can bring bikurim. But he says, why? Right, don't we paskin, he says, but according to Sodom and Hagoyim, you should bring them to the Torah. But he says, v'kasharo chacham she'o malanest amea k'dei l'knosam min Hagoyim. But when he saw that people were raising the price, right, to buy it from the non-Jews, he's, right, they were raising money, right, to buy from the non-Jews, and they were therefore raising the price. Hiskinu shakonim anagoy lo yavi bikurim kidei sheyiru shekvar pachsa kidushasa. The Chacham instituted that people shouldn't bring bikurim to make it as if we paskin that yesh kinyan lagoy lafkia because it was too expensive. V'lo yishtad lo kenosa mehem, so that they would leave the field in the hands of the goy. V'kasherosha docham avim ledekach. And then when they realized that was counterproductive, because then people were never redeeming it, so then they changed, right? And they said, no, bring Bikurim, right? Etc., etc. But what's the point of the Rambam, right? The point of the Rambam is, yeah, okay, right now we want people to not spend too much selling to the Goyim. Okay, we'll make it as if you're not Chayv and Bikurim. Wait, now no one's going to redeem it? Okay, bring Bikurim, right? We just... Played with it.
This is a Sanhedrin, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, fine.
Or so
you
want to easily be okayed out in Torah.
It could be.
They easily, yeah, I mean, not easily.
What are they being okayed from Torah? What are they being okayed? I mean, not bringing Bikurim.
Well, bringing Bikurim might be chul nazara. Not bringing Bikurim is a bitul mitzvah saseh, right? You are playing with potential. Mm-hmm. So again, you see this notion. Okay, number 9 I gave you was the mission in Krisos. Rashi was the one we already quoted. Now Tosfos hated this, right? Right, Tosfos here just rejects this whole interpretation and says it really has to do with the Tfilos. Forget it. Right, he just doesn't like it. So you look at 12. Look at the Be'er Sheva, right? Just to finish off this picture, and then we'll get into the Chumrah issue. So Be'er Sheva in 12, right? Perish Rashi. Right, the problem was as follows. To give you a little bit more of the background there, again, you weren't here last week, but the issue was as follows. When the price was too high, people were bringing zero karbanos. Now, there's two reasons you have to bring a karban. Right? One is because they're chayv to bring a karban. Two is to be machshir you so you can eat kadshim. The problem was that people, when the price was too high, weren't even bringing one. There's a cat in the shul. Great. Out. Go away.
Not to Rav Lausher.
No, let him go to Rav Lausher. It's not... someone will kick him out downstairs. I don't know. Okay. So, exactly.
Exactly.
So the problem was as follows. If there's two aspects. One is the chiyuv karban. The second is that if you don't bring a karban, you are mechusar kapara and you can't eat kadshim. And if you do, it would be bisser. Right? So the problem was that they wanted to minimize the problems. So what they did was they paskined, bring one karban and don't bring the rest, because that then at least people brought one. So at least they didn't violate the isser.
What is the karban for?
This is yoledes. Right? The context is yoledes. Right? Yoledes and Zivos. Right? Safek Yoledes, Safek Zivos. And Vadai, Yoledes, Vadai Zivos.
How are you Safek Yoledes?
You could have not if you had a baby, but you can miscarry something and not be sure if it's a miscarriage or if it's something else. Right? Some discharge. Right? It's not a baby. There are all types of...
I feel like you're pretty clear.
No, but there are suffix ledos, because once, right, it could be, you're not sure how many days it is, if it's before 40 days, right? I mean, there are all types of cases where it could be a suffix, whether it's halachically an Uber, and therefore a leda that requires a karban or not. Mm-hmm. So what Rashi says is that we lied over Okra Devar Matara, Okra Devar Matara, really, to make sure that people brought at least one karban to be machshir them to eat, right? To not be mechusere kapara. Okay? So then the Per Sheva comments is mitoch perusho nisyashu kol kushik to a Tosfos perket pasho amishno seinu. He said this answers all the questions of Tosfos. Because Tosfos and get pasho, which I didn't even give you, went nuts. He's just like, what is going on? I don't understand this whole Mishnah. How does it contradict other things? Right? And the Be'er Sheva just says, well, the Masha Perish Rashi, Lakasha Midi, Mikol Elu Kushas, and Skram Shik Shua Tosu, Mishnah Afresh Bag, Sofer Katana Kama, Divina Shara Lov Chova. Said, right, Tosos in Get Pashut has a problem because he thinks there's all these stiros between the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel as articulated in the Mishnah and as articulated elsewhere. Be'er Sheva says, according to Rashi, it's not a problem because it's
Okay,
Torah. Why did I bring you the Be'er Sheva and not Tosfos? Because what does the Be'er Sheva indicate? That Tosfos in Get Pashut is not comfortable with the notion that you're just going to be Okra Devar Matarah, and therefore he wasn't willing to buy that this was not his position. I mean, clearly, right? If he was willing to tacitly just go along with Okra Devar Matarah, then there's no kasha. You can't bring a stira between, right? If someone says, right now I'm keeping halacha and tomorrow I'm not keeping normative halacha, right? I am uprooting it. You can't bring a stira between what they say in one place and one in the other. The fact that you bring the stira means that Joseph was uncomfortable. And this is something we saw a little bit last week, right? Is that for every person you have who's willing to go that far and say, yes, for social reasons, I'm willing to be Okra Devar Matarah. I'm willing to pass the Mishas Atchak. I'm willing to lie. You have another Rishon, another Posek, who says,
no,
can't.
Not necessarily because they fundamentally think you can't. The Ritva really thought you couldn't lie, right? But there's two reasons why you might argue. One is fundamentally, the other is
the situation's not big
degree, right? And in general, even if, you know, this is not the issue we're normally dealing with, these social issues, right, you will see this, right? You will see that the debate will hang on two axes. There'll be Poskim who think this is a legitimate type of Shas Adchak, a different, and that Shas Adchak exists here, right? Meaning it's a legitimate enough reason to apply the halachos that relate to Shas Adchak. And then you'll have people who argue and say, that's not a legitimate type of argument, or quantitatively,
the situation's right, not that bad.
Right? And in general, right, that's the type of thing, right? These extremes, and, you know, I tried to point this out also when we did Akira Sefer Matara. The extremes, it's not that we rely on the extremes all the time, is that the extremes indicate the way in which poskim approach halacha more generally, right? And you see it in this sugya in sort of a radical way. If you look at the Tiferes Yisrael has a discussion of this point. He writes, right? He poskims like Rashi, right? He says avagav shemin haTorah chayavos. Lahavi Ashar, Afil Hachi, Hekil Mishames Lasso Shemifer Sarasecha, Shalidesh, Lahin Nitzrachos, Akol, Kachin Harve, Huzlo Akin, Vinitzalumi Sarkares. But then he elaborates, that's just really a quote from Rashi, but in 14 he elaborates a little bit, and he says, Dafagav Shish Koch Bercham Lakar Dominator, Beshev Altas, Alkol Panam Hacha, Shalolit Sarach Akar Dirator Ligamre, the Tvei of the Midrash Lu. The onus Rachmana Patre, Vivir Sharkin and Likisha Yizlu, Viloma Little Patre and Ligamri. He said, I don't understand. Why did you need Akira's Dover Menatora? I have a better one for you. You know what that is? Onus Rachmana Patre. They didn't have the money to pay for the Karbanos. So just say, don't be Okra Dover Menatora. Tell them that because it is, right? Do something which is much less radical and say,
do one if you can, do all.
Bring it eventually. Meaning, what's the problem with bringing it late? Right? But I mean, his question is, why didn't, right? He could have done something much safer, which is said, bring one now, and you might feel pressured to bring four more right now. And that's what's driving the price up. I'll tell you that because of Onus Rachmana Patre, you're not going to violate Bal Ta'achir. Right? Because that's really the potential isser. Right? If you told people, bring one now, and bring the rest when you can pay for it. The worst that's going to happen is they violate Bal Ta'achir, right? Don't bring a karban too late. But just say, you're pater from Bal Ta'achir because Onus Rachmana Patre. Meaning, why does Rashi go so far? Because, again, and this is, I want to use this more as a template. Right? What's his argument? He's saying, I'm not saying you can't use Akira Tavim and HaTorah. Right? But we don't like to. Right? I mean, even if you recognize the social need, right, and this is what I'm telling you methodologically, even when you recognize the social need, that doesn't mean you jump to the most extreme way of solving the social need. Right? Right? And this is what's clear, is you always need to ask two things. One is there a social need that's legitimately recognized by halacha? And two, okay, well, second question is, what mechanisms are at my disposal? And third is, how extreme of a mechanism do I actually need to use? Right? You don't need to pull out a kiryas dove from a Torah left, right, and center. Right?
Ideally never,
yeah. And even psikal chabashatak, right? There's a difference between someone saying, right? I mean, you understand, there's a difference between someone saying, look, it's a machlokas Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, and you're Ashkenazi, but I'll let you rely on Shulchan Aruch, right? Than saying, Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, Shach, Taz, Mogen Avram, Mishnah Brewer are all in agreement that it's Aser, but there's a Chuvas in the Avotas Gershuni, right? Whatever, you know? Nothing against the Avotas Gershuni, I'm just saying, right? Like, you know, whatever. You know, Rav Mordechai Friedman and Gush always used to say, but it's a Tshuva in the Minchas Pinchas, right? And then someone pointed out that there's an actual Sefer, and then he didn't know what to do with it. Yeah, his guy named Pinchas, so he called it Minchas, right? I don't think he thought about it, that it sounds ridiculous.
Oh, Minchas Pinchas. Been a joke safe on Yeshiva for years now.
Well, it's always been, but then we found it. It's whatever. Right? Again, not the Etzavah, it's like Shuni, it's not an important Sefer. I'm just saying, if all, you know, if Shulchan Aruch Ramal, the main Nosei Kalim, all Paskins one way, it's a very big difference. Right? I was discussing this with someone this week, right, where someone made a claim, oh, we can rely on this Kula because it's in the Ramah. I said, no, it's not in the Ramah. It is the Kula. Right? But it's in the Drisha. And there's a difference between something being a Suffolk in the Drisha, right? And being a Ramah, right? That doesn't mean you can never rely on a Suffolk in the Drisha, right? But, you know, there's a difference between misremembering it and saying that it's a Ramah. So he says, Nira Lid Mishum Azlo Yishomos HaAshiras Milahamtin Lo Yizlu Akinim Adayin. He says, no, the answer is it was necessary. Right, it was necessary because if you told people, look, bring one and bring the rest when you need to, the rich people would bring it right now, which would constantly keep the price up because rich people would always be buying, and therefore the poor people would never have a chance to even bring one. But then he says, so he could have stopped there, and then you would have said, okay, the methodological point is, only pull out the big guns if you need them. And you, in this case, you do need them. Mm-hmm. But then he had something even more radical. And he says, oh, and you know what my conclusion is from here? That chate bekal is batal b'mitzvah saseh, k'dei sheyizka chavercha b'chamor. What we learn from this is that you should violate a little sin so that your friend doesn't violate a bigger sin, which is a sugya and eruvin.
We had that one already.
That's a little bit different. This is a different Gemara. Gemara Neirven, Chate Kadesh Yiske Chavercha, right? Which you should sin to prevent someone else from sinning. Right? And he's saying, you have to realize that there's actually something extreme going on here because he's being Oker Devar Min HaTorah in such a way that he's taking away the mitzvah from, right?
All the rich guys.
Yeah, right? So you have to realize that there's a lot, it's actually quite radical.
But the rich guys aren't sinning.
They're not doing a mitzvah.
Right.
Right? He says, so, or they're violating Baal Tachir maybe. Right? Because they're, you know, right?
Why are they violating Baal Tachir?
Because they're not bringing their korban. They're bringing rich people who gave birth.
Well, they're not because they were ochre.
Yeah.
Well, oh, fine. Now they're not sinning, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, but they're sinning as much as the stop folk is.
Okay, fine. Okay. So now let us move to the second aspect, very briefly, which is, that the one thing that no one was really bothered by, and everyone just sort of took it as a given in the sugya, is that, okay, the fact that someone should be able to lie to be more makil for social reasons, everyone felt a need to justify, right? Or, in the Ritva's case, deny it ever happened, right? But no one, Ritva, Tosfos included, had any problem with the notion that you should be machmir, right? That you shouldn't tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
So they do better things.
Yeah, meaning we're allowed to not fudge things. We're allowed to withhold kulos, right? Even if they're true, to encourage people to do things. So how do we know that? And now, again, there are many sugyas you can bring for this, you know. But the one that Tosfos particularly wanted to pick up on was This is this Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Hey.
Oh, I'm confused. Why you have to say it at all?
I mean, why don't
the question the other way?
No, so that's the thing is, no one's really bothered by this. No one really says, okay. No one's really bothered by the notion that people don't say everything that is true, right? So don't say everything that's true.
Right, it's not like an issue. He's just withholding information. People do better things.
We were talking about this right downstairs. It's not like, even if you think that, you know, Lidugma, that the Isser Darais of Lotikru Lugalo Derva is only violated when when it's Derechiba, right? Whatever that means, right? You know, Ray Willig said this once. You're on my share, but Ray Willig, holds that way, and therefore the official policy of YU they used to tell people is okay. Your handshakes are not derechiba. Again, that's a big machlokes a poskim, but the YU poskim in general are okay with that position. And they say so. If you're in the business context, you should, short firm handshake. That's fine. Ray Willig said he once gave this shir in camp. He said the next Shabbos he sees these guys and these teenage guys and girls giving handshakes, and he said, "You've never seen such handshakes in your life." Right? He said not everything that's mutter is a mitzvah to say, because someone's going to misuse it. So he said, "Look, so he won't. He'll give that shir to adults in the business world, right? They want to know, can I get a handshake? He thinks it's mutter, so fine. You don't need to scream it in camp, because you know what? It's not something I'm encouraging guys who are going to misuse that, right? We understand that sometimes you don't tell everybody the whole truth, right? We just stay quiet. But there's a particular Gemara that Tosfos wants to look at, and that's number 15. So Ronya, Akve Ravina Arba Ruchosav. The Gemara there is talking about if someone builds a field around you, are you chayev to pay the fence, right? But you didn't ask him to. But are you chayev to put in some money because you might have benefited at some level from the fact that he fenced you in. I mean, his fields are on the other side.
Sure.
Right? Obviously. Okay? So, Ronya put a fence on four sides around Ravina.
Meaning, so, he builds a fence around my property. Not, am I fired to pay him for the fence?
What? Yeah. Right, because I benefited. I didn't ask him, but I benefited.
The guy benefits me without money.
Well, that's the sugya. That's exactly what... That's the sugya. Right.
Yes, also.
Okay. This is the sugya, right? So Amarle, Havli Kamadi Gadri. So he said, please pay me. Lo Yaivla. He didn't pay him. So Amarle, Havli Lifi Kanim Bezal. He said, fine, look. I used high quality fence material. Right? I used real wood. Pay me the equivalent of had I just done it with, that cheapy metal, whatever. Yeah, chain link or plywood or whatever. Right? Meaning... Because, okay, you didn't want the high quality, and I didn't ask you. Fine, right? But pay me, because I did something, right? You did benefit. Lo yavlei. He said, okay, havli agar nitirusa. Give me the amount of money you would pay a shomer, because I'm protecting your property, right? Give me something. Lo yavlei. So he didn't give him. But then what happened? So Yom Achad, Avi Gadar Dikle, Amrle Arise Zil Shkol Manye Kibura Dahani. Also I say Rama Bekala Amrle Galit Daitoch the Menach Michalach Yoelach El Izab Alma Milo Bainet Yerusa. So one day, right? He did something that made it clear that he actually does need to be guarded. Okay, let's just right that he did appreciate the fact that there was a fence around his field. So Ronya comes to him and he says, look, what you have just revealed to me that you benefited from this. And he denies it. Right? He denies it. He says, nah, he's a Baal Malav Lechule Baya. He denies it. Okay, I don't want to... So... The important part is the end. Okay? So Asa, we'll go two lines to the bottom. Asa they made the Rava. They come to Rava, right? This machlok has been going on. So they finally come to Rava. Amarle, Zil Paisa Bemai De Fayes. He said, give him something. Right? Give him this lower amount that he's asking you for. V'ilo.
Which lower amount?
What?
The Shomer one or the...
The last one. The Shomer one. V'ilo. Da'anina lach dina karavuna liba de Rav Yossi. And if not, I will make you pay the highest amount. I will paskin, right? So, Tosvos here says, in Baba Basra, says, wait a second. What is going on? Right now, we're not going Lakula. Not really Lachumra either, right? We're, this is Mamano, so it's a bit, right, unclear, right? The fact pure Chumra is one thing, right? Kula we've dealt with. Chumra is sort of obvious, right? But now there's the middle case. What about Dine Mamanos? Right? What exactly is going on? We're somewhere in between. Right? So Tosvos here says, Ksasa Yanira, Shelo Lafchido Hayomer Kane. Midelo Kamar vi ilo migabina la fanda minach o machina la vilaved lo mava dama. He says it sounds like here that he wasn't just scaring him. Right? He was, because he didn't say, right, if you don't do it, I'm going to, like, force you, right? He didn't say, right, he wasn't, like, saying, like, you'd better do this or I'm going to force your hand and I'm going to make you be chayv the money and I'm going to be, right, magavina, right, I'm going to be goved from you, I'm going to force collect it, right? Why? Because he says, v'avagav de lulav agazol amr shmo mahanid mezavne asva. Ashru zina zvinaichu vilo darshin lechavi tarfon. He said, "Well, why not? I mean, why didn't he go that far? Why did he say I'm going to paskin this way and not like I'm going to force it out of you? Right? We do that, right? Isn't Shmuel willing to lie? If he's willing to lie, why isn't he willing to, paskin the wrong way? And Shmuel was willing to do it. Why isn't Rava willing to do this? He says, Hasan dafchida mayom arkein. Right? There he's willing to scare them, right, into doing the right thing." So near the hachis for like bears, Rashi. Lo yom le zil faisim ma defais mashem in adin ha'ilo yoser im lo b'shvil shikvar nispayes. So Tosfos says, nah. In this case, it is really he was chayiv more money, right? He really is chayiv more money. Why? Because he really was migaladas that he wanted the whole fence. So why is he telling him pay a little bit of money? Because the guy already said, pay me the little bit and I'll be done. He's giving him good advice. Right? Yeah. He's giving him good advice.
I mean, really, I hold you should pay all of it. But
right? Really, I hold that you could. Right? You should pay more.
You're high about everything.
Good. Now, Tosfos here. So what does Tosfos here assume? So Tosfos here assumes that, look. Right? To scare someone into doing the right thing is fundamentally... No.
Allowed.
Right? He said you could do that.
Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Now that Tosos in Sukkah had said, and scare and withholding the truth to encourage people to do something where Machmir is also fine. Right?
Yeah.
But by Dine Mamanos, interestingly, right, where it's not really a clear question of Kula and Chumra, Tosos suggests... Well, what does he suggest? This is the interesting question, right? It's not really Kula or Chumra.
Right.
Right? Because Kula Chumra for one and Kula for the other. Right? So what does Tosfos suggest in that case? Can you or can't you?
Well, he didn't. In this case, he did not lie.
So, he thinks you can. It sounds like you can. Or he's saying he didn't have to because he really paskin that way.
Right. He didn't have to.
Right?
Right.
But he equates the two. Right? So you get a third point from Tosfos, which is not only, like Tosfos in Sukkah, is it legitimate to withhold the truth to push people to be machmir, and not only according to Tosfos in Sukkah is it mutter to lie for social needs, but in monetary case where there's no clear chumra or kula, you can still, and this is interesting, and there's no broader social need either, it's an individual, right? It's really two jumps. Right? Is that he's willing to open the possibility.
For an individual case.
What?
That's pretty crazy you can lie for an individual
and case. And yet, right, Tosfos thinks, look, it's not just chumra, it's not just kula, right? I can sort of lie, and I could do it even when there is no, right, clear right answer, right? Where it's a detriment to one or the other, right? It's not a chumra kula question, right? So Tosfos really does seem to buy this. Right? That this is a legitimate mechanism. Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra, the imamanos, broader social needs, local needs.
I'm a bit confused. If you ever really passed him like the other guy, then he's not chayav in anything, why is it like a benefit to make him pay?
Unclear. Midas had, right, so maybe Yashrus, right, that would seem to be what,
I don't
like...
Know, I don't understand if I was that guy. I don't want you to build a fence.
It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to pin your finger exactly what is going on. Now, Tosfos in...
Well, the explanation makes sense. It's weird that he would be able to do it because...
Shalom, a little bit.
It's not Shalom for the other guy. I don't want to do it.
Oh, it's less Shalom than if one guy's really angry. Both a little pseudo-satisfied.
No, no. Why would it be good to pass him like the guy doesn't hold like in this place?
That I don't know, right? I mean, you do have cases. It could be similar to the Gemara in Bava Metzia Pei Gimel, where the Gemara says that, yeah, we actually encourage people to do, like, go beyond the letter of the law, to do Lefnei Meshur HaDin. Okay.
You open all the lights and then...
Nachon. But someone was in the classroom and you guys are downstairs. Do you want to go into the classroom just to finish off here? Well, we're almost done, so we'll... Okay. But what comes out, right, is that Tosfos really does have this possibility that, yeah, it's mutter l'chumra, it's mutter l'kula, right, it's mutter to withhold the truth, it's mutter to lie a little bit, right, it's mutter for vast social needs, for individual needs, right, you do get this picture that at least some rishonim that are actually pretty comfortable with this, right, yeah. Tosfos, and Tosfos in Sukkos is basically the same thing. Now, Shulchan Aruch, on the other hand, writes, right, Shulchan Aruch says, in such a case where someone presents a claim and it's wrong, you must say sheker at the dover. You must say that. Right, the Rama says, baldin shetav chaver b'davar muat, b'davar muat, v'adayin rosh tchayv al pidin, yoshem ashetava, ein lo dayin livzog yoshem ashetava. But, and this is from our Gemara, right, if someone claims something which is wrong, then you've got to say it. But what if someone says, I only want 10 bucks for him, but really he deserves 50? So then, what does he say?
You don't have the 10.
You don't have to tell people. You shouldn't tell people that they're chayav more, mikra din. V'impasek lo yoser, and if you do, have a toes bedin. It's a toes, v'choser. Right? Which is quite radical.
That's pretty strange. Yeah.
Right? But where is the Ramah getting that from? Because the Ramah seems to be reading it slightly differently. He's saying...
Well, can you say once he says that he's okay with 10, he was a...
He's mochel. Yeah. I mean, right, that's
and
the
symbol.
And then
if you make him pay 50, you...
It seems to be what he's getting at. Yeah. Okay, if you look at the Daf al-Daf in 18, he writes, because of Atosos, debalo chiech de shmul kuritar from Tzvirle, de inema de shmul oratza rak lavchidam, imken yavchidam rabbi kiva shemekel yoser. Right, this is the summary of what we saw. Right, Tosfos said he was lying. Ritva said, "How could you lie?" So Haemek bracha kasav de lo yada maikasha lele haritva. He said, "I don't even understand why the Ritva is bothered." Vakaimelan bekama duchde the iser sheker huter letzorach mitzvah letzorach shalom. You're allowed to lie for mitzvah for shalom, but. There is one thing, and this is what the rest of the sources are on. Okay, let's summarize what we're up to now, right? And then I'll finish up. Okay, what we have is the Tosfos thinking that you can lie lichumra lichula in dine mamonos in dine isurin for a community or for an individual, right? He thinks clearly that there are social needs that allow us to play with the system. The Ritva,
no,
that really doesn't like it. Right, doesn't like it. Rashi, right, sees this as an example of Okur Dovah Metara, potentially, of playing with the system, though maybe not in both cases, right? There's the possibility that no one actually takes it, maybe it's Psikat al Chabashatchak. And again, methodologically we got from this is that most people are not don't have any problem with the Chumra side, right?
Maybe teaching Chumra it's actually...
Correct. Like, no one relays a problem. Right, that's explicit in Shas. No one relays a problem with that.
Not teaching.
Yeah, I mean, that's Halacha Vein Marunken. Right, Halacha Vein Marunken I didn't even give you. Right, that no one even bothered by.
Yeah.
The Kula bothers people. And then the Dine Mamonos is somewhere in between. Right, and that's why it gets a little bit complicated. But ostensibly, it seems to be part of the same picture. Okay. In addition to the lying problem and the Psach problem, the Gears of Amitara problem, there's one more problem. And that is a Shita of the Yamshel Shlomo. Right, the Yamshel Shlomo has the following position, okay? The Gemara in Bava Kamma tells the story. Look at 19. Ukvar shalcha malchus romi shnei sarditos etel chachme yisrael lelumduna toraschem. The messengers of the king of Rome, you know the story, came and said, teach us your Torah. Okay, so they went and they learned the Torah.
Okay, I don't know, sorry.
B'shas p'tirasan, when they were finished learning, Amr lohem, dikdaknu b'kol taraskam emesu. The messengers of the emperor said, we read your Torah, the Caesar, said, it's wonderful. Your Torah is wonderful. It's wonderful. Chutz midavar zesh atem omrim, except for this one thing that I really don't like, which is shor shel Yisrael shenagach shor shel Kanani pater. That if a Jew's animal gores the animal of a non-Jew, you are exempt.
You say that?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not as good at reading.
I didn't know that.
Shel Kanani shenagach shor shel Yisrael bein tam bein muad mishalim nezek sholim. But the other way around, no matter what the case is, you pay 100%.
Seems fairly unjust.
Because he says, Meman of Shach. He says, I don't understand. E Re'ehu Dafka. If you think the Pasuk refers only to Re'ehu, so, Bein Lekula Bein Lehumra. Jews, right? Jews and non-Jews should have to pay each other.
Right.
V'i Re'ehu Lav Dafka. I mean, the Pasuk says Re'ehu. So he says, if Re'ehu is Dafka, then we should owe each other.
Right.
And if Re'ehu is Lav Dafka, meaning it means Jew or non-Jew, then a Jew damages a non-Jew's property should be liable. But we won't tell the king. It's only one thing, so secrets between us. Okay? Yom Shor Shlomo says, wait a second. How stupid were the rabbis? Right? The Caesar comes and asks you to teach his messengers Torah so that they'll see if there's anything offensive to the government. Don't show them that halacha! Right? Don't show them that halacha!
Certainly wouldn't.
So what does he say? And this is the radical as you could get on the Ritva's direction.
Even if someone is not going to pass the halacha, you can't lie about it.
And it is Yehoreg V'al Yavor.
Oh my gosh.
Right? He says, Gam Shaminen Mehai Braisa, the Aser Lashanas Divrei Torah Af Ki Asakana. Right, this is all garbage, right? It's not true!
Oh my goodness.
You don't have to answer them. If they tell you, tell me some things from the Torah, I can tell them.
No, he said, Kish the Holder. That, this is a big Kiddush. And the Yom Shor Shlomo said, that's the only way.
Where'd he get that?
Right? Right, the Yom Shor Shlomo says, I don't understand. They didn't know how dangerous it could be. Right, they didn't know how dangerous it could be to tell the Roman officers this halacha? Bemet? They didn't know how dangerous it was? Don't tell them! He says, no, what you learn from this is that they were willing to risk Gam Klal Yisrael, right? It turns out it worked out for the best, but they were willing to...
Right, what about the...
Just listen to his language, one second. He says, V'chayiv lim tzarasmo aleha. You must give up your life. D'lefichad shmiyad d'tayra, shamacho tarish agaz raleha. V'lam alirach cham shetal machas arish aleha. What, they weren't afraid? They weren't afraid of what would happen? You couldn't think of a worse thing to tell them. Right? I mean, apparently he never read Rav Kook, right, who said, oh yeah, remember Ray Brody quoted this one, tell the non-Jews that we will take their organs but not give to them because we have Kedusha, and therefore that means we keep our mitzvahs, but also means our bodies are holy, so we can't give you organs, but you're not holy, so it's fine, and they'll be okay with it. Right? Okay. The Yom Shor Shlomo said, no, they won't be okay with it. Right? They weren't afraid of the destructions that could happen. You're talking about an evil king. Lie. I don't care how you lie. You're both chayiv, you're both putter, right? And this is, he's saying, this is relatively easy. Right?
He thinks you're not
allowed to
lie about anything, even if it endangers the nation?
Yep. El Shma Mina Shemichavim Anu Lim Sura Kofer Betoras Moshe.
Kofer?
Yes, Kofer Betoras Moshe. So, right, until now I've showed you that most Rishonim are pretty okay with this. Right, most Rishonim are pretty okay with some level of lying. All the Rishonim, right, the Ritva included, are okay with not telling the whole truth, nothing but the truth. The Yom Shor Shlomo comes and says, it's not true! It's not true! The whole Torah is Yehor Gvil Yavor. If you lie if once, it's willing, you should risk all of Klal Yisrael rather than lie Pam Achas about the nature of Torah.
Interesting.
Okay, so now coming back to 18, right? So this is like, see, now Ellie's like, you know what? I get it. I'm not, I like the Ritva who doesn't like lying. But even I understand, Yesh Gvul, you don't have to say everything.
I don't know where right? you get the seed to say everything from.
Right?
I'm pretty amazed they taught these Roman soldiers the entirety of Torah.
I know.
How's that happen?
Pretty lucky I have Roman soldiers.
Like, why can't I? That can't happen to me.
So in the Daf Al Daf, he says, right? Maybe that's why the Ritva is so bothered. Maybe. He said, maybe that's what drove the Ritva. Right? Maybe the Ritva thought like the Yamshel Shlomo, and that's why he thought you couldn't lie, because he thought it was, you know, Yahar Gvul Yavor.
Yamshel Shlomo's fun
guy. I don't think that's right.
Didn't he say for Hitler it was okay to not tell the truth?
Yeah, I don't know where he got this from, right? Obviously, yeah. Whatever. No, I mean, I don't know if he says really the Ritva, but he's saying...
What does the Yamshel Shlomo do with those Gemaras?
Or what about so, the Septuagint, like all other times?
I was about to say the Shuvans came
out. Oh, yeah.
They clearly changed them.
But right, this is the extreme. Or if you want to take the extreme, right, so far, basically everyone's okay with Chumrah because Allah Hovein Morin came, whatever.
They didn't lie there.
Tosfos is okay with Kula. Rashi is okay with Akiras Dabram and HaTorah. The Kabbalah Storm raised the possibility of Shizkara Chabashat Chak. The Ritva isn't okay with lying, but even he's okay with Chumrah, withholding the truth. And yet, here you have a position that says no! Right, Yaakov Adin Ezahar, to quote the Lashon of the Gemara, right, truth will pierce the mountain no matter what. So the Daf Al Daf says, V'chol mechon heir al dvara, b'kovitz kerem shlomo, me'avur kametoz v'chanash yachol shmol afchidem, v'alachash yin emes, v'neish b'mvesech sukkal omar, shekin yalachar afchidem, right, etc. etc. And he doesn't really answer the question, he just says, obviously Tosfos was not so convinced. Right, meaning, right, and what's the point of that? The point is that basically, except for the Yamshel Shlomo, every person who has ever lived, right, has recognized that you want to call them social concerns, you want to call them internal halachic concerns, right, like the Hiddur Mitzvah one. Everyone recognizes there's something, like Halacha V'Emorin came, that you don't always have to say everything, right? We don't have to say the whole truth, right? We are allowed to take into account how our policy actually going to be implemented. We're allowed to do that. That's not a bad thing to do. Tosfos is willing to go farther and say, I can straight up lie. Right, Rashi says I can't lie, but sometimes it can be ordered in the Torah. Right, the Kabbalah Tamarim said sometimes I can be paskin. I can paskin a shitas yachid as long as it's not something that I think is totally impossible. But all they're arguing about is degree. Now these are big degrees, right? I mean, the Ritva is only willing to do a lechomra. Right, Tosfos is willing to straight up lie. Rashi is willing to order in the Torah. Those are big differences. But basically, every posek recognizes that. There are factors in Psak that allow you to play with it. Right? What those are? Good question.
What is the actual halacha v'emorin case?
Yeah. So presumably there he says you're not misrepresenting Torah, right?
Overrepresenting Torah?
Yes. I assume, right, what you have to do to defend the Yamshel Shlomo is to say, okay, even the Yamshel Shlomo, who clearly has a much more extreme position, right, says you can never lie. Right? And that would be Har Gvul Yavor. I'm not sure the Ritva would accept that. And you can never explicitly say something wrong. But to keep your mouth shut, okay, maybe that you could do. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know exactly he's going to do it, right? He'll say that's not misrepresenting, it's over-representing. I don't know. Right. Or you don't say it's usher, say don't do it. You shouldn't do it,
or you
right?
Shouldn't do this.
Or whatever. And everyone will think, I don't know what he thinks. Elamai, no one really accepts this. I mean, you will see this every so often. Okay, I shouldn't say no one accepts this. It's not right. Right? It's just not right. It's just not right. It goes against like 55 Gemaras, right? And this is a point, I didn't say it, I mean, I do say this, but so does Rav Moshe Feinstein, so does, you know, Rav Henkin. Right? I mean, I gave you just like one example, right? You look, one example in the Darim. Ula b'miskel arid Yisrael, eslavu l'utrem b'nei choza abadei. Ula was going to Yisrael, there were two people with him. Kam chad shachte l'chavrei. One killed the other one. Amr le Ula, yo Zavdi, and he said, did I do the right thing? Amr le in. Yeah, that was fine. Upar le Beis HaShechita. Yeah, you got into the Beis HaShechita. It's great. He got to Rav Yochanan. Amr le Dilma Chas V'Shalom V'Chzuke Yidei Over. He got to Rav Yochanan, he said, did I do the right thing? Maybe I supported this murderer. He said, Amr le Nafshecha Yitzalta. I know why you did this. Right? He would have killed you. Had you said, right, when he said, did I do the right thing? And you said, no, then you'd be next. Right? We all understand what would have happened. So, right? So, Look at Rehenkin. Rehenkin says, "Eker divrei hayam shel Shlomo kasha shemayit sakana zavash ladia legoi shemidin Torah goi Yisrael shenagat kar shel akum pater v'shor akum shenagat kar shel shal chayev avol pichen shinas adin kaven tzrichem lomos al kiddush Hashem l'shanas divrei Torah in haylam l'sarv l'lamit l'osim goyim." Right? He just says what Eli said, what Chaim said, what Ariel said, which is, I understand. Wait. What is he talking about? Just don't teach them it. Like, what are you out of your mind? Right? Like, really? You think, like, the Yom Shir Shlomo's position is so extreme. Like, either he thinks that they had no choice but teach the whole Torah, but really? Like, who in this yeshiva would know? Well, who knew that was a halacha, right? I would tell them, I taught you the whole Torah, forgot that halacha. Who would know, right? Like, thousands and thousands and thousands of halacha, you forget one, no one will remember. No one will notice. Right? And he says, well, I don't understand, you're chayiv, not just to not lie, but to like, tell right? The simple implication of the Yom Shalom is you have to go out of your way and say, wait, there's a halacha that might offend you. Like, I don't know what's going on. He says, I don't understand, you crazy, right? He says, Kavate Adiv Lamos Pishtika, Lasak and Klal Yisrael. He said, worse comes to worse. The guys should say, you know, they get to the Sif and Shulchan Aruch and they say, explain that to me. And they say, we can't. So they shoot them in the head. So you die, but not Gans Klal Yisrael, right? Like, what? He's like, I don't understand. The Yom Shir Shlomo thinks that not only were they not allowed to lie about it, but like they had to actively go out and be misaking all of Klal Yisrael. They couldn't just go to him and say, we won't teach it to you. Kill us if you want, but we won't tell you what it says. So they'd kill you and move on, right? And they would never know the halacha. Like, what is the Yom Shir Shlomo is such a purist, right? Like, he says it doesn't make any sense, right? Elakim lular abanan shlohei sagan b'adas hadin b'lik tam. Azla rayas marshal. He said, must be they realize that, right? You know, they've been learning with these guys for months, years. How long does it take to learn kol haTorah kula, right? They got to know them. They realized, you know, we tell them this one halacha, they'll be a shtickle offended, and they'll go on, right? They sort of intuited it, like clearly these guys were in the base measures. It wasn't like they told them the halacha, right? They managed to get through the halacha that if you kill a guy. Right, yeah, you're not Chayim Misa, right? And they're like, yeah, whatever, right? They got through all that at some point. The rabbis figured out, you know, maybe we can share this halacha. It won't be the end of the world.
Right, I had to be learning for a little while.
Yeah, like Rav Moshe Feinstein also says, right? And he says, Sir Moshe is the one who brings the raya that gets him from the Darim. The Gemara in the Darim tells you clearly that again, we've shown that there are many different, many machlokot about to what extent you can lie, to what extent you have to tell the truth. But everyone agrees, everyone. But there are times when you don't have to tell the truth. Halacha vein marin kein. I can, right, withhold the truth to make people mi machmir, for kavod harav. I mean, how do you read these gemaras? Right? No one is such a purist that they think, except for the Yom Shir Shlomo, that I have to actively offer the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Even if all of Klal Yisrael would be killed, like everyone understands that Yesh Gvul. Right? Rav Moshe says, "Atam kaven she'ino omer shu muter she'os avad im bezam yishu davar muter kavan afal pishu davar aser shasat Torah zol mezalzlo bishvil kach mishum she'os avad l'das anush gamol l'arg ba'alma below time." He said, "Chein afshel b'sakana aser mishum nira ke maskim shu muter v'ne mechuyv limser afshel zeh." He said, "Right, you could defend maybe the marshal and say, oh, that case is different because." He didn't say it's mutter. He said, yo's, you did a good thing. Right? It's not mutter, and therefore it's sort of a lie. But the simplest shot, right, is that we don't pass on the marshal. The simplest problem, we don't pass on the marshal. Right? So again, what you see from this sugya of lying, and I think after this week, the vote was to move to actual true vote and see in normal cases, and not so normal, but how these types of concerns, not just the shasat chak ones, right, how poskim deal with classic sugyas, and how they deal with non-classic sugyas, right? Or how they deal with non-shasat chak sugyas and shasat chak sugyas. And what you've seen, but at least in the shasat chak world, is that everyone agrees that there are shasat chak. But some people are very minimal in how they try, right? We try to avoid it as much as possible. Everyone ever tries to avoid it. But in each case, you're going to have cases where people are going to say, look, a little bit for chumrah, okay, right? Other people say, no, I'm more concerned about the social needs. Sure, but it's a spectrum, right? And you see that the purists who seem to deny it, like in this sukkah, the Yom Shir Shlomo, right? It's very hard, right, to look at halacha and think that halacha is that pure, right? You can get to the Ritva, which is, okay, l'chumra, I won't tell the whole truth, right? I'll allow, but even that is a recognition, right, that there are values beyond the pure halacha. Even if you want to say it's just hider mitzvah, right, that's still a recognition, and it's within the halachic system, right, all that caveats, still there's a recognition that, you know, I don't have to give everybody all the options in all circumstances to keep the absolute ikar adin, right? And there's no real way of reading Shas and not say that, except if you're the Amshar Shlomo, right? Again, how he deals with the halachim and Cain, he'll say that's not really lying, but even that would be a recognition that, you know, there are ways of doing things. And obviously, everyone has the intuition.
The role of the post is not always just to give the most accurate.
Right, that's my point. Right, how much you're supposed to give. Right, how accurate you're supposed to be. How inaccurate you can be. How deceptive you can be. How much you can play with the halachic system. That we've seen is a huge machlokot in the Rishonim. But the fact that everyone recognizes that ichshehu somehow these are factors seems to be a given. Right, and that we've seen with this sugya, with the Kirzav Rana Torah, with Psikat Halacha B'Shachat Chak. I'm going to try not to only do tshuva, which are b'shas hadchak. I'm going to try to do some classic tshuva, because you're right. Even though I think, as I've mentioned, in tshuvot, I think they're disproportionately b'shas hadchak tshuvot, simply because otherwise, why are you asking the question, right? Meaning a lot of shalas are informative, and then they're not b'shas hadchak. But a lot of shalas are not informative, right? Sometimes it's complicated, I know the answer. So then you see poskim functioning normally. Sometimes it's, I think I know the answer, but it's really hard to accept that. And then you see b'shas hadchak things functioning. Okay, and that.